All right, well, God bless you. Get your Bibles. I really hope you'll follow along with me today. I think it's just so much better for you when you follow along. When I go to a church service, I love to follow along and take notes. This morning, I was praying for a title for my message. It would have been able to title it exactly what I'm going to talk about. But I was saying, Lord, I just don't feel like that's the title. And I had worship music on, and I was getting a cup of coffee, and I heard the worship song, and it was called, It's Out of My Hands. And the Spirit of the Lord said, there's your title. So today, this message, now look, you can get all of our messages on landmark-christiancenter.org. You can get everything's on our website. Landmark-christian.org, yes. And so you can get everything there, all of our messages. But this one, when you're looking for the sermon today, and some of you will, because it's called It's Out of My Hands. Today, we're living in a time where we feel, politically speaking, it's out of our hands. It's out of control. That's what, when something's out of your hands, whether it's medical or whatever hard times you're going through, sometimes just out of your hands. It means it's out of your control and there isn't anything you can do about it. And that's where we get all worked up. We don't like that one bit, especially you brothers out there. I've heard you brothers say, but Pastor, when I can't do anything about it or about my family or when they're sick or when I'm having issues, I don't know what to do. It's hard for me. I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to give you an example today. Sometimes when you're going through, I would say most of the time, if you have an example of somebody that's been through and you'll see how they got through and they made it, it is so encouraging because to be in a place where you feel out of control, you don't know what to do and it's out of your hands, it's the most uncomfortable place that we ever come to as Christians on this earth. So let me take you to somebody who everything was out of his hands at this time, but he survived it. So let's go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. We'll go to the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. 2 Timothy. Let me see. Oh, you've got to see this, folks. Nobody was standing with 4th chapter, 16th verse. Please look at this with me. Take the lid off my water, please. 2 Timothy 4:16. Look at this. At my first defense, Paul says, at my first defense, look, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged. May it not be charged against them. Paul had such a sweet disposition about him. And he said, Lord, nobody was standing against me, but don't hold it against them. But look at this. When you feel like you're standing alone, there's nobody around, nobody there to support you. If you're in the hospital listening today and you say, man, they won't let anyone come in here while I have this virus, and you feel like you're all alone or you're at home and you're going through a certain situation, and you said, there's no one here standing with me, Pastor. Well, let me show you what Paul did and what he teaches us in verse 17. He says, but, I love that word in this, but the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me so that the message might be fully preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Okay, let's just stop right there. All of these people, if you read the verses in chapter 4, you will see that God had warned him that that time is going to come, Paul, when people are going to have itching ears. They do not want to hear sound doctrine. They're not going to like what you preach. You have come to the Gentiles and you're preaching a brand new message of grace. They're not going to want to hear you. And they're going to be standing in their own ways. And Paul said, It's happening. He was telling us here, Demas, he's forsaken me. Why? Because he loves the present world more than he loves the gospel. He's departed. He's taken off on me. And Titus is went another direction. He said, only Luke is with me. And he said, now no one is standing with me. And somebody else was left sick over in another area. Yes, people got sick, even with the disciples. He said, he couldn't even come with me because he was Miletus. Over verse 20 says, I've left Miletus over there sick. So he couldn't even come. So some are sick. Some just bailed out because they got tired of the gospel. They got tired of traveling. They got tired of waiting. They didn't like maybe the new words Paul was speaking. But Paul said, well, when nobody else stood, God stood with me and he strengthened me. Listen, and he gave him, I believe, a supernatural or an extraordinary anointing. That he said, he helped me to fully preach the gospel. Not only was I bringing the word, but people were being healed and delivered and set free. And I'll tell you something, church. When God stands with you, he causes things to happen around you that would happen no other way. So don't worry now about who is standing with you, because God says, when you're out of control, I'm right here standing with you, just as I did Paul. Nothing has changed, folks. They deserted him, but God didn't. Now, when it says in verse 17, I was also delivered out of the mouth of a lion. That's not talking about a physical lion here. Now, this is talking, most scholars would say that was just a figure of speech because of the way the Sanhedrins and these people had come against Paul. They didn't want him preaching the gospel. They didn't want him preaching in Jesus' name. They didn't want to see any miracles. They didn't want to see the works of God. That was it in a nutshell. It was the works of God, and they didn't want any part of it. So it says here, not only did God strengthen me, and he does that when things are out of your control. When he comes and stands beside you, you're going to feel a new strength that you didn't know existed. You're going to see things begin to change around you, and even the mouth of lions. Now, America is being attacked by the mouth of lions, and we don't even know what to believe anymore. One, I think maybe I told you this last week, but one couple was fully vaccinated, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, she went to say, I've checked positive. She said, how could this be, doctor? How could this be? He said, we've been lied to so much, we don't know what to believe. So we've been lied to, the mouth of lions. There's so much chatter going on right now. Folks, be careful who you are listening to, what you are listening to. And I would say, just let it go right now. Just turn it off and stay in the word of the Lord. Stay in your worship music. Hear the word of the Lord being preached to you from your church, wherever you're listening from. And watch the Lord stand there. The Bible says in verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. There's a lot of evil works going on, from man to the virus, to not only that, but the lies of the devil. I mean, they come through human sources. They come through media. They come through many, many sources. But he said, I won't only deliver you from sickness, disease, and the mouth of lying lions and demons and devils, but I will deliver you from every evil work, and I will preserve you. So when Paul says he strengthened me, that means he already did that. He did it in the past. He delivered me. He did that in the past. But when he says, the Lord will deliver me, that's the future. So not only does he in the present, he will in the future. He delivered, he strengthened in the past, and he will in the future. So he will preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Ah, those are beautiful results from the Lord standing close to us. When are you out of control? When is it that you feel like, Lord, I don't know where to turn or what to do? When you're in a place when it's out of your hands, as the song says, it's out of your hands, then it's a place that you might feel like you're in a place of danger. Your life is in danger, or your body is in danger, your family's in danger. A young man told me just recently about a certain place that his little children were outside playing. And he said, all of a sudden, I had fear rise up in me because of this trafficking that's going on. And I ran out and grabbed my babies and took them inside. And I thought, he said, I thought, what did I just do? Because he was so nervous about thinking he was out of control, or what if this happened? So folks, believe me, call on the name of the Lord. He is standing beside you. But if you feel like your life is threatened, or you're in a threatening place or a place of danger, there's confusion all around. And we know when confusion is happening that God is not in it. He is not the author of confusion. Therefore, Paul says, he stands with me. He strengthens me. He delivers me from the lions. He delivers me from all evil. He preserves me. He will preserve me. And he does save us, church. Oh, yes, he does. So when it's out of your control, nobody's standing there. He will. Jesus is standing right with you. Amen. I love verse 22. As we go on down, it says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. I love that. When I saw it, it said, Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Paul didn't say with your body, but he said, may he be with your spirit, because our spirit is the innermost man. It's the innermost part of us. It's where the Spirit of God dwells. And then there's the soulish realm. And then there's the body, or the natural man, or the flesh on the outside. And the outside man, the natural man, is the one that is hit with all of these arrows. That's why the prophet Isaiah said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Now we have to rest in the word for that to happen, because he knew arrows were going to come at us from every direction, to our bodies, to our natural man. They hit the natural man, the mind first, the natural man, the soulish man, our emotions, our will. And if we let that go and it turns into fear, then it penetrates right on into our spirit. And when your spirit is hit, and now your spirit is dragging down, your spirit is stooping, we can never, ever, folks, allow our spirit to stoop. We keep that spirit full of joy. You keep that full of joy. It's always there for the Christian. And so then when it's full of joy, it's full of the word, it's full of understanding, as Paul said, the Lord is standing with me. He said, may the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Oh, I love that. I love it that Jesus is in my spirit, because when he's there, then the words of Isaiah begin to cast off, and every weapon formed against us, as soon as the arrows come, when your heart, when Jesus is with your spirit, he's in you, it's full of the word, it's full of his glory, then it fights off every attack. Every weapon formed against us will not be able to prosper. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. So I'm going to go over now. I want to move over to Acts. I want to show you this, Acts chapter 23. Now, I'm studying my Bible. Sometimes I'll record these on my iPad, but I like to see some little things that I can just point out to you. But Paul is, again, here. He's before some mean, heavy-duty religious people. And the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're all coming against him. And one high priest, listen to this, and the high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. He said, go ahead and hit Paul in the mouth. Hit him. We're not going to hear him. Now, these are the people that stood with him here. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it said, no one stood with me. So I wonder which is worse, to have nobody standing with you, or this kind of person that says, strike him in the mouth, hit him in the mouth so he cannot speak. But I want you to hear the words of Brother Paul. Paul said in verse 3, Acts 23:3, then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you set to judge me according to the law. Do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? In other words, Paul said, hey, I'm a Roman. I'm a Pharisee. How dare you? Oh, they said, strike him in the mouth. Paul says, will you strike me, you whitewashed wall? You know how Paul could talk so strongly against them? I mean, right to their face. He did not back up. He did not cower. He didn't take his hit and then just cower down. No, he said, I'm not going to take this. How dare you strike me? I am a Roman. And when the devil comes at you and strikes you, you rear up and say, how dare you strike me, you filthy demon? I bind you in Jesus' name. My spirit is full of Jesus. I am full of the word. I am full of the joy of the Lord. And I will not settle for this. Excuse me. I will not cower. I will not bow down. If we don't bow, church, we will not burn. That's what Oral Roberts used to say about the three Hebrew men. They didn't bow and they didn't burn. But if you ever start cowering and bowing down, you got to also remain like Isaac. When no one else was planting in a dry and barren ground, Isaac planted. When Paul was standing here alone and the people standing around him were totally evil, you may be the only Christian in your family and you're surrounded by some heavy duty evil people. You've got to realize this next verse begins to rise up and you listen to verse 11. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and he said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. By the following night, see, sometimes you go through for a day, a night, another day, another night. And you're like, when's all this going to quit? When is it going to change? Lord, when will I see new scenery? And it says, but the following night, which meant he went through. Remember when it says darkness may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So the following night, the Lord stood by him. Now, just a few verses up, it said the evil people stood before him. Now, Jesus is standing before him, and Jesus literally speaks. It's written in red right here. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, you're going to do that in Rome too. So don't worry, I'm taking you all the way to Rome. They're not going to hurt you. And then the Bible says that somebody went and told Paul's sister's son, up in verse 16, he went and told Paul's nephew. So Paul made it over to the ruler and said, hey, they're doing this to Paul, and he's a Roman too. So they, as Paul said, they denied them all. What happened? How did he get out of this mess? How did he get out of this situation? I mean, these guys are tough. They're the leaders. This is the high priest. They had slapped him in the mouth. Shut him up. And Paul talked back to him. How did that happen? Because his inner man, his spirit, he knew what he was saying when he said, may the spirit of the Lord be in your spirit. When he began to say, oh, Lord Jesus, be in their spirit, he knew that he was full of the spirit. Now, you can only talk like Paul did if you have confidence that the Lord is with you. Now, if you're wavering back and forth and you're not sure who you are in the Lord, you are the righteousness of Christ. And if you don't begin to understand that, you're going to wimp out at every turn. Because believe me, in this life, we have plenty of reasons sometimes to just wimp out. But we just can't do that. You stand in the authority of God's word and be very confident of what the Lord will do. The following night, the Lord stood by Paul. All right, let me go on. Be of good cheer. He said, be of good cheer, Paul, because you have testified of me. Jesus knew Paul's name. Be of good cheer, Paul. And he's telling me to tell you today that he knows your name too. He's saying, be of good cheer, you. be of good cheer. And he's calling your name, sir. He's calling your name, sister. He's got our names, our addresses. He knows exactly where we are. So be confident that he is there with you. It doesn't matter who's standing around you. He said, when I stand up, they sit down. Were you ever doing something as a little boy or little girl and the bully came by or someone talked smart to you or hateful to you and your daddy walked up or your big brother just put his hand and put you behind him? What happened? You just stood up in confidence. Well, I'm telling you today that Jesus is standing with you when it is totally out of your hands. Okay, so I want to show you one more place where Jesus stood with Paul. Now, this is a very simple message, but I don't think you will forget it. You have to know, church. You have to know and understand and receive it under yourself that the Lord Jesus Christ is standing with you. So I want to take you now over to Acts chapter 20. We're going to go over to 20. One of my favorite stories. Go over to chapter 27. Over to Acts chapter 27. Look at verse 20 if you're following along with me. It's when Paul and the guys were in a storm. They were out there in a boat with the mariners. And they're trying to get to Rome. Well, here's another storm. So Paul knows by now that when he's in trouble, he's got the power of God standing right with him. Here we go. Verse 20 says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given. Excuse me. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. They're like, well, we may as well, some of the mariners, we may as well give up. There's no hope that we might be saved. But I want you to hear this. Look at verse 22. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there, Paul speaking again, there stood by me this night, not tomorrow night, not the following night, but there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Okay, what is all that saying to bring it home to us? When you have seen no daylight for a few days, or you've seen no daylight in maybe feeling better, you've seen no daylight in your situation, in your marriage, in your home, in your finances, on your job, you just need something else to happen. You've got to stay on the ship. And you keep trusting God. Remember, in the very beginning, the Bible says, no one stood with Paul. The second place we went to in Acts said that the people that stood with him despised him and hated him, and they were evil. And Jesus still came and said, be of good cheer, Paul. You be of good cheer. Now, we come over here, and the people that are standing with him are in a storm. They are totally in the storm. They've not seen the sun, the moon, or the stars. There's no daylight in this tunnel. What in the world are they going to do? Except an angel of the Lord came and stood with Paul. And when the angel came, he said, man, he spoke to me. I belong to him. Now, remember, Jesus said, be of good cheer, Paul. But now, when the angel of the Lord came, he said, don't be afraid, Paul. See, even the angel knew his name. Jesus knew his name. But the angel said, do not be afraid, Paul. I tell you, your name is precious to you. Okay, when somebody calls your name, it changes everything. Don't be afraid, Paul. You're going to be brought before Caesar. And then he tells all the guys, take heart, men. For Paul said, I believe everything I believe that it'll be just as it was told me. How many times do you listen to the Word of God preached? And I told you, or you heard it taught from your pastor, maybe somebody else is watching from another church, and you heard it say it, but it just, you didn't take it to heart. And you just didn't buy it. Paul said, no, I believe every word that was spoken to me. I believe that it's going to be just as God told me. And you know what? I sit here talking to you today, and I believe that it's going to be just as the Lord said. It's going to be here in His Word, that the Lord stands right here beside us. Now, at one point, He said on the following night, but this time it was this night. So you have to believe that at this time, at this hour, Jesus is standing not only beside you, but I'm going to take you a bit farther, because He said the angels of the Lord in Psalms chapter 34, verse 9, the angel of the Lord encampeth about, that means he camps around us, He stays around those who fear Him and trust Him. He stays around us. If you fear the Lord, He is right there with you all the time. You just have to come to a reality and a knowing that you have nothing to fear. He is always right there with you. He said, don't be afraid. Take heart. Don't lose your heart. Don't get all upset. Take heart in what? In me. That I'm with you. That I'm standing with you. All right, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to go to John 14. Verses 16 and 17. And then we are going to come to the table of the Lord together. But I want you to hear John 14, verses 16 and 17. Listen to what Jesus prayed. Very, very, very important words before He went back to heaven to be with His Father. He said, here's what I'm going to do, guys. When I get to heaven, talking to His disciples and His followers, He said, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, Him the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him, or they don't know Him. They don't know Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. See, He said He will be in you, because at that point, the Holy Spirit had not come yet. So He was not in them. But He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus said, I'm coming to you in another form of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, a part of the Godhead, the third person of the Godhead. I'm going to come in His form, and we will abide within you. I will come to you. So what did He say? He dwells with you, just as Paul said, the Lord stood with me. He stood with me. The angel of the Lord stood with me. And then He says, not only will He be with you, He will be in you in these end times. So we go so much farther than where Paul was, so much farther to say He is in me. Well, I didn't want to give you too much today, but wanted to give this and pinpoint it to your hearts to tell you that when it's totally out of your hands and you're in a stormy season, or you're looking like Paul, you're looking at a sentencing, maybe some of you are on your way to jail, you don't know what to do. You say, I've been sentenced with this virus and I despise it. Of course you do. But we're praying because Jesus is not only standing beside you, He just told us, I am in you. And so Paul said, oh, may the Holy Spirit be in your spirit. And that's when we throw off the attacks. No weapon formed against us will prosper. So I say this to you today. You say, well, it's easy for you to say. No, I've stood in a whole bunch of places, folks, and they've not always been good. In fact, many times they're not good. I feel like you're standing alone many times. But He will strengthen you. And He will deliver your soul. He will deliver us. He's done that to you and me many, many times. He will strengthen us. He'll deliver us. And you take no thought. And when you're going through the storm, believe me, He's right there. There might be a time right now where you don't see the sun or the stars. You don't see a rainbow at the end of this. You don't see a light in the tunnel. But I promise you, Jesus is the light. His angel is the light. And he's with you. So you be encouraged and be of good cheer. The Lord is standing right there with you. Amen. Now, I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I want you to get your emblems if you remembered to get them and come to the table of the Lord with me. We're going to have communion, and I'm going to lift, because we talked about Jesus standing right beside us, we talked about him being with us and in us. This little bread is going to represent. See, we don't get to see very much down here. You know, we live by faith. But the one thing we do get to see is this, which is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And he said, if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you don't have a life. So I want to make sure we have life in this time where evil would come to try to take our health and take the blessing and the strength of your mind, and try to replace your joy with fear. Try to replace your joy with hopelessness. The Bible said that those men on the ship, many of them, all hope that they would be saved was taken away. Well, I'll never get past this. I'll never get past. Do this. Take Jesus into your spirit. Would you do that with me now? Dear Jesus, we receive your word today. Lord, it is totally out of our hands. And I'm glad, Jesus, that you even came to a place on that bloody cross where life was taken out of your hands. In fact, the Father didn't even stand with you. He turned his head. He couldn't even look upon the sin. He couldn't look upon it. But Jesus, you stood so you can stand with us. And Jesus, right there, when there was no one even standing with you, the disciples were gone, your Father was gone. But Jesus, you died and you came alive so that you stand with us. We receive that broken body. We receive you to come on the inside of us. You said, oh, one day I will not only be with you, but I will be in you. So Lord, we receive you into not only our bodies right now, but our soul and spirit in Jesus' name. Take the body of the Lord inside you. Oh, Lord, would you just release healing now? Release healing to those who feel sick in their bodies, in their mind, in their spirit. That one that feels, Lord, like all hope is taken away. That one that is full of fear, that one, Lord, who says it's out of my hands. Yes, it is. But Jesus said, now it's in my hands. Look at these scars on his hands. He said, I came to stand with you. So, Lord, bring healing to that one, Lord, that has congestion, the one that feels like they have a sinus infection, the one that checked positive for COVID, Lord, the one that is dizzy, the one that's in marital problems. Lord, the one that is having some kind of financial issue, the ones whose joints are aching in their legs, in the back, even in the elbows, we release healing by this cup. You said, if you don't drink my cup, drink my blood, eat my body, you have no life. So Lord, today, upon the authority of your precious word, I believe what you have spoken to us today is the word of truth. So, Lord, today we receive your blood. We receive your body. Gladly and thankfully and humbly receive your blood into us to cover us in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, well, glory to God. Church, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his countenance towards you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. I love you guys so much. Pray one for another. God bless you, and remember, the Lord is standing with you. Amen.